Generous God, living Christ and empowering Holy Spirit, speak to us this day through your living word that we might enter into your joy. Amen. So, as we just discussed, at this baptismal font today, we will baptize Lincoln Thomas White. The church, this congregation, into which Lincoln will be baptized, is a little bit different than the congregation, the church, into which five of our six 2017 confirmands were baptized over a decade ago. The font is the same. The rite of holy baptism is mostly the same. Other things, however, have changed. We are not as large in number as we were over a decade ago, yet we are still a vibrant, resourceful, very blessed congregation. Many of the saints that we knew to be faithful workers with us here on earth have died and joined our Christian ancestors to become a cloud of witnesses that cheer us on from the resurrected side of life. Many other new babies, in addition to Lincoln, have been born, baptized, and have taken their place in this family of faith. Other new faces have joined faces which have graced this sanctuary for multiple decades and still grace it with faithful presence and service. The faces of your pastors have changed and have gone in number from two to one and back to two. And even now we are in a period of listening for where the Spirit might lead us in regards to future pastoral staffing. The ways we do and experience Christian education and service have changed and evolved as our community has changed and evolved. This summer, for the third time within this decade, we will be sending youth to our church-wide youth gathering. We send people to serve in important ministries of healing in Guatemala, and a few years back, we sent people to Kenya. The church has changed and will continue to change, and yet the church will endure because the church is not an entity of our creating. Though we are called to participate and share in its creation, the church is a miracle of God's doing. As the familiar hymn witnesses, built on a rock, the church shall stand. Christ builds a house of living stones. We are Christ's own habitation. The church which stands around us of new fears and anxieties. Some people fear losing the integrity of the very democracy upon which this country was founded and has lived for well over 200 years. Other people fear losing their health and independence. Still others fear losing health care and being bankrupted by the costs of seeking medical services. Yet others fear for the discrimination and bodily danger faced by their children of color or children whose sexual orientation doesn't fit in previous traditional understandings of gender. Scientists fear for the health and well-being of plants, animals, birds, and the ecosystems in which their very lives depend. Some communities fear rising sea levels, Other communities fear the capacity of wildfires to wipe out whole neighborhoods, as so recently happened in California. Yet others fear random outbreaks of gun violence against which no institution, entity, location, or gathering is immune. Such fears and realities have resulted in much weeping, gnashing, and grinding of teeth, as well as stress-induced physical and mental maladies. Those overtaken by such fears find themselves in outer darkness, as did one of the characters in today's gospel reading. So let's back up a minute and see what else this puzzling parable might have to tell us. What promise and good news does it hold for us today? It begins with a man entrusting his property as represented by talents to others. Now, in the New Testament era, a talent wasn't a skill as we think of talent today. Back then, a talent was a measurement of money. Just one talent equaled 15 years of a laborer's wages. Thus, just to be given one talent would be comparable to winning the lottery. Yet in Jesus' parable, the first person is given five talents, more than a lifetime of wealth, the second two, and the third one. As we have found in other parables from Matthew, this represents a generosity and lavishness almost beyond comprehension. In order to entrust such wealth to others would require great trust in the one parting with it. We are told that the only criterion used is that the man gave to each according to each one's ability. Thus, the wealth is not split evenly among the recipients because they evidently have different abilities to handle or deal with this wealth. So it is that the first to demonstrate their ability by using that which is entrusted to them to its increase. Yet the third person, because of his fear of reprisal and punishment, buried the wealth he was given, so that it was not able to benefit him or anyone else. One way we might think of this parable is to think of the talents as representative of God's abundant grace given freely to us for our use. When we step out in faith, trusting the one who entrusted us with this amazing gift, we are rewarded not with material possessions and elevated social status or political power, but we are rewarded with the increase of grace and the joy of the one who gave the gift. Such joy is not a fleeting joy, but a deep, lasting spiritual joy. Yet the refusal to acknowledge this gift and use it results only in fear and a return to sender mentality, which deprives one as well as others of its benefits. In 1 John, we are told that love casts out fear. An interpretation of today's parable might lead one to deduce that fear casts out grace and along with it light, life, and joy. In our Thessalonians passage today, however, we are reminded that we are children of light. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to encourage one another and build up each other. Perhaps an antidote to the fears which sometime overtake us. In his baptism today, Lincoln will be given that candle I talked about earlier, and he will be told that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life." Such light is filled with a grace and a truth that we take into our fear-ridden, anxiety-ridden lives and world. The future may indeed bring ruin and devastation to the earth as we now know it, yet baptized into a love that casts out fear, carrying Christ's light into the world, we pray for wisdom to care for the earth and its people. And we pray for God to continue to create days in which plants, animals, and humankind can thrive. In this 500th anniversary year of the Reformation, we follow in Luther's footsteps, who we were reminded said that if he was told the world would end tomorrow, he would still plant a tree today. And so we have two new trees planted out in our parking lot to help us remember that. So it is that we step out in faith and step into the joy of the one who sees into and beyond the future. Thanks be to God. Amen.